This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Schwarber swings, lifts it in the air, deep left field. Wood drifting back to the track, at the wall, out of room. It's gone. And Kyle Schwarber showing off his opposite field power. It's his eighth home run of the season, and a two-run shot will put the Phillies on top 2-0.
Well, it was a good start and a good end. And by end, I mean very end. But there was a lot in between that got really funky. Lost in the shuffle as Zach Wheeler did Zach Wheeler stuff. He almost got all the way through seven. And when he left, he'd only given up one run. And, of course, the hope was that with Strom coming in, hopefully it stays at just one run. Now, Strom gave up a hit, so Wheeler's final line looks like two runs. But, man, that game had a little bit of everything last night. You can react to it, 215-592-9494. All right, we're going to get to the Belichick stuff shortly because there was another development yesterday in As the World Turns with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. It's really getting really strange. Let's go to the phones. Ian in Fairmount. Ian, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Ian?
Hey. Well, first of all, I wanted to throw out my speech.
Sure.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei and my cousin Vinny.
So the one about her clock ticking? It's a great scene, man.
It's a great speech.
Yeah, it's really good. Now, again, speech or not, we'll figure it out. But
I think you're going to have to be a little lenient or else we're not going to get phone calls today, buddy.
No, I hear you. That's a good answer with Marissa Tomei. I get it. Clock ticking is really good.
My girlfriend here, she's going to talk some Phillies.
Love this. Say, hand the phone off.
Oh,
I'm not sure
great.
If I do love
the
this.
Combo
I
call.
I like it.
All right, what do we got? Hello?
Liz?
Hey.
What's up,
Liz? What's up, Liz?
What's going on?
Quite a bit.
Isn't it, though?
It is. All right, what do you got, Liz, on the Fightin' Phils? They pulled it out.
Didn't they? Holy shit, they did.
215-592-9494. All right, let's get to Nick. Nick was with us right now. Nicholas, good morning, buddy.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Dr. Nick from Bucks County. How's it going?
It's going great, Dr. Nick.
Oh, right, man. First-time caller, long-time listener. Love you guys. Thanks for doing what you do.
You bet.
Our pleasure, pal.
Yeah, so I just want to give a shout-out to Howie Roseman. Once again, he won the draft. We lost a bunch of defensive players. To bring in all those young players, we're ready to go. I'm fired up for this, man.
Well, you should be. What's getting interesting is you're hearing more and more now about Campbell's knees, though, and that's a little bit concerning. You know, I mean, that one thing is – John, we didn't know that draft night, and we didn't know it the day after the draft. That's starting to trickle out that's more of why he fell. Hopefully that's not a thing moving forward, but it is something to be aware of because that can impact a player at times in their career.
Hopefully it's more like Landon Dickerson,
you're right.
Certainly good to go.
Yeah, look, there was talk when Josh Sweat came out that he wasn't going to have a particularly
that
long
knee.
Career.
Yeah, you know? He had a devastating injury.
Trot, I believe, was another example. Yep. So it happens sometimes, and sometimes
lots
a player has
guys
a,
have yeah. lots of knee problems yep. when they're coming out, and you know the fact that we get him on his first NFL deal, hopefully his second and third, but especially the first. That's normally when things are pretty good, even for guys who had knee problems as collegians.
Yeah. So, Nick, we'll see, man. But, I mean, obviously, Howie's getting a lot of praise for the draft he put together.
Yeah, I'm fired up, ready to go for the new season, and let's go Phils, man.
Absolutely. Nick, give me an answer. A great speech in a movie. What do you got?
Gua, Son of a Woman, Al Pacino's final speech.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one, man. Son of a Woman and Al at the end.
I'm going to take a flamethrower to this place.
Yeah, that's strong. Let's. By the way, that...
So do you think Al Pacino today would remember Baby Jimmy Seltzer?
That's a good question.
Probably not.
He might,
Al Pacino
James.
Today.
It's possible, but unlikely.
How much interaction did Baby Jimmy have with Al Pacino?
Yeah, what did your parents tell you? So for those that don't know, Al Pacino and Seltzer and Seltzer's parents all lived in the same area back in the day.
Same building.
Yeah, so James obviously can't remember it, but has heard through the years from his parents about it.
Was this like a super fancy building, by the way?
No, it wasn't. It was back, like, it was early 80s. He wasn't like super, you know, Godfather, but it wasn't like he was like, you know, it was a different thing. But it wasn't what you, I mean, he probably had multiple places too.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. But
what did your parents tell you about it?
Just that they around the building, he used to be like, I was like the little baby that he would talk to. And it was like not maybe daily, but like a few times a week would see around the building.
A few times a week.
Yeah.
He'd probably remember you.
Little baby
he might,
Jimmy.
He might.
I don't remember him, sadly.
Well, who cares about
did
that?
Did he know your name?
I'm sure he did, yeah, of course.
The little baby Jimmy.
I think that's awesome.
Al Pacino. Yeah.
My mom loves telling the story.
Little baby Jimmy.
Why wouldn't she love telling that story? That's a good one. All right, 215-592-9494. Do you have any of that, John? You had the supermodel, it was your buddy's sister, that went into Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, Stacey Williams lived, I mean, I grew up playing in the backyard with Jim, her brother.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Jim, now deceased, but he was a year ahead of me in school, so I would drive him every day. He played lacrosse. He played football. I drove him to practice all the time.
Yep.
It was, she was discovered in, it felt like 1985-ish, 1984, at the Capital City Mall in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, at the, I think it was Foot Locker. By a modeling agent. She looked just like Jim, like tall and slender. It was like Jim with long hair. We all felt like,
exactly an endorsement of her looks.
I know. There was Lindsay, her older sister. I mean, there was Stacy, and there was Jim, the younger brother, and they all looked very similar, except Jim had short hair, and Jim, I'm playing hoops with them every day in the backyard, you know, playing kill the guy with the ball, playing football and stuff. So they were right down the street.
Devin, did you know? So you knew the guy that's going to meet Superman? You knew him growing up?
No.
No, so he's
David
married.
David Cornsweat?
Yeah, David Cornsweat is married
to one
of my best friends from Radnor High School. He's from the area.
So you know him as an adult?
Yeah.
No way. Radnor High School.
They weren't dating, but they met Upper Darby Summer Stage. So she was always like a really big, you know, she's a great actress and singer. So she was really into musical theater. She was like the artistic friend.
Did she ever do Grease? At Radnor High School,
that would be cool.
Where Grease was.
No, I always wish that we did Grease.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
She was always the lead in whatever musical it was, but we never did Grease. I don't remember what we did. I feel like it was like West Side Story or something.
Come on.
I was in high school.
That's cool.
But yeah, they're married, and they actually like live around the area when he's not, you know, traveling and on location and big Philly sports fans. So
wait,
yeah,
is it fair
cool to say that?
Is Superman
A fan of our show?
Ooh. He's got to be a fan of the Hammer, right?
I think he's been a little busy lately.
Who cares about the show? Let's make
Could
it about
you
me.
Find out how he feels about the Hammer, I guess. Yeah.
I can find out. I think he's a little busy right now, but...
Well, you know what he can do? He can fly fast. He can do a lot of things at the same time.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Well, he's not actually Superman.
No, he's Superman. All right, Reed, do you know anyone growing up that's become famous?
No, I don't think so.
I have one more of these, speaking of West Side Story. So my best friend, Teddy, since first grade, best man at my wedding,
he went to high school with Lin-Manuel Miranda. I saw Lin-Manuel Miranda in West Side Story in high school.
That is cool.
Away. Yeah, he directed the play at the high school with my buddy, and I went up and watched it, and I did a cast party with Lin-Manuel Miranda when he was in high school.
That's
very
cool.
I hung out with him like three or four times when he was in high school.
I feel so lame. I have like nobody that I know that I grew up with who's famous.
Apparently. Because I got two. So I've got, across the street from me, you guys might remember a major political controversy 20 years ago, Valerie Plame when she was outed the CIA agent.
Oh, yeah.
So Valerie grew up, and me and Valerie grew up across the street from each other.
No way,
now,
really?
She was like 15-ish years older, but yeah, I knew Valerie growing up.
Wow, that was a big deal.
That was a major deal.
Major deal.
Major deal. And the other one is, I'm still friends with and knew him way back in the day. We went to Penn Charter together. Jesse Wooders, who's, you know, a big political commentator on Fox News. So Jesse and I grew up. I was at his house the night Terry Mulholland pitched the no-hitter. And we missed it because we were playing basketball in his driveway. Because this is before cell phones and texts and tweets and like, oh my God, it's the eighth inning, it's a no-hitter. Like, you might want to turn it on.
That must have been, I would have been so annoyed with myself. I'd be like, what are we doing?
We're just playing hoops in the backyard. All right, so a lot of that through the years, obviously. Rhea, maybe reincarnation someday, you'll have someone.
I know. I feel really terrible about this.
All right, 215-592-9494. I'll tell you what was terrible. Trey Turner's defense. So this caused issues last night. This made the game a lot closer than it had to be. Let's listen to Trey Turner after the game. Trey Turner was talking about a series of disastrous plays, really two of them. Trey last night on his defense.
I feel like I've definitely improved, but you know, just dumb mistakes like that is just, you know, just unacceptable. It can't happen, especially on that routine play, you know. So just keep working, kind of move on, I guess. Getting the wins better than, you know, that loss right there. So just flush it and go on tomorrow, get back to work and get with Bobby and see how we can get better.
I'll say this about Trey's defense, and he did a lot great last night, John, obviously offensively, and he did a lot disastrous defensively. His defense, of all the main stuff with the team involving prime players, is probably the weakest element of the whole team. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Trey versus like the whole bullpen. I'm not saying Trey versus all the hitters when they chase. I'm saying like one player's anything.
Well, I thought Rojas, but I'm not counting
the nine hole hitters. But you've noticed I said the main players. Like, we don't even know if Rojas and Marsh, if they're everyday players.
Rojas, you can't rip his hitting this year too.
Not yet.
Right. I'm just saying, he's been good. Yeah,
I'll get back to it because he ain't going to stay a three something hitter. I'm just saying Trey's defense is horrible.
I agree with you, Joe. I think of all the big time, most important players on the team, I think of all their aspects of play. I mean, other like Schwarber's defense, he doesn't play defense, I think Turner's defense is probably the worst aspect.
He's almost unwatchable.
Because of how important a shortstop is.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, Rhea, think of the two times the Phillies won a World Series. Larry Boa, shortstop. I'm talking defense. Jimmy Rollins, shortstop, defense. I mean, that's a critical
also
element.
Also, because he's limited, as we've talked about, mobility-wise, you know, the side-to-side and all that.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. It's the, like, throwing the ball over, like, 10 feet over heart. Like, that kind of stuff is like, man, like, if you don't have the agility and the ability to go side-to-side like you do, you have to be so buttoned up on everything else. Every ball that's hit you, you've got to gobble it up and you got to make a good throw. And he doesn't even do that stuff. And that's where it gets incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, and look, it's good he's working on it. He's always working
on
it.
How long is he going to work on it?
They are always working on stuff. What are we talking about?
It's really, he's just not good at it. And frankly, he's bad at it. He is bad at it. Let's go to the phones. Matt
to be bad enough that you fear, like there has to be some element of fear now, some question in his own mind as to whether he can make that throw. You know, when he misses as badly as he misses, and Bryce has to swing his arm wildly to try to make the tag at first base, that does affect, you can see how it affects his confidence.
I can speak from experience to say this, John. The worst thing in baseball is when you don't want the ball hit to you and the ball is hit to you. It is terrifying.
And it will find you at shortstop.
There's no escape.
Yeah.
There's no escape.
It's also terrifying for us watching because we don't want to hit there either.
All right, let's get to Matt and Broomall. Matt, good morning.
Hey, doing, Joe. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Just right off the bat, I predicted that you would take over the show 4 months before you did it. Before it happened.
Well, we're a group for what it's worth, but I appreciate your kind words and your prediction. You're very Joe Namath-like. I like that.
Yeah. So, do you think Nola our pitcher, his problem, that we don't get runs for him, is because of his chilled attitude?
No, I don't. I've seen it before. Look, Nolan Ryan didn't have a chill attitude, and there were times the Astros or whatever team wouldn't score for him. I remember Randy Johnson one time lost 3 straight games, 1-0. Think about that. But look, here's the deal. Cole, it seemed to happen a lot to Cole, and it seems this year it has happened a ton to Aaron Nola.
I think it happens to good pitchers sometimes where, like, human nature, teams are like, oh, they got us today.
Maybe.
I think that's at least a little part of it maybe at times.
Could be. I mean, last night they scored, but some of the, well, yeah. I mean, they were up.
Happens to Nola. Like, through the years, it feels like Nola has been cursed in this way.
I think from what I've seen in my lifetime, Cole Hamels is the one that stands out the most.
100%.
Like, he should have had 25 to 30 more wins. 100%.
It was like year after year it felt like.
Now, to be fair to, like, those hitters, some of them were just in the 2013 through 2015
were bad. It was
when they
bad
stunk.
Teams.
I mean, the team stunk, so it's like you can't expect a ton of runs when you got, you know, Manny, Moe, and Jack eventually hitting. Anyway, Matt, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. John, I wanted to say, when I got home yesterday, I put Allison on the radio. It was really cool listening to it.
Oh, it is amazing, that song. That really, it always strikes me differently, too. There's so much intricacy in that one.
John, did you know that Sting sings Little Wing from Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah. Amazing, huh? There are a lot of versions of that song, and it's just such a gorgeous song, Little Wing. But yeah, it's a beautiful rendition.
I heard that first, and then heard that Jimi Hendrix wrote the song and sung it. So I only heard Sting's version first.
No way. That's crazy. Yeah, that's cool. Jimmy.
So, Joe, if you ever want to go golfing for free, I work at Springfield Country Club.
Wow, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Springfield Country Club. I'm going to write this one down.
Man, the amount of offers you get to go get taught golf or tennis or this or that, it's getting ridiculous.
Free golf, man.
Matt, you're a good man. So now's the time, and thank you, Matt. I may be in touch. Now's the time. Amy told me like 2 years ago I couldn't do this, but since she hasn't told me this year, I'm going to do it. Because she got annoyed a couple years ago when I did this, and she's probably still sleeping, so she won't hear this. call to action that anyone that personally knows me or doesn't, I'll take the offers for free lodging for a summer weekend down the shore.
Oh, my God.
All right? Like,
you're not allowed to do that.
Sure I am, because
no,
I don't own a shore house.
Maybe Amy doesn't want to just go to some person's house she doesn't know for a weekend.
All right.
Have you thought about that?
You ready for this, James?
You'll go without her.
I'll go without her. How about any of my friends that she does know or doesn't know? We'll take those offers. Amy's friends, we'll take those offers.
How about you rent a house?
Well, I do that.
Yeah,
I don't rent a house.
Throw a little cash out, big dog.
I get a little spot once or twice a year. But, John, I mean, if you have the power of the microphone, why not?
That's what it's for.
I mean, John, wouldn't you like, you got friends in town, and you probably haven't gotten invited down the shore. Just put it out there. Then they'll hear it and they'll say, oh, I can have John down. It's a good idea. John, you just got to tell the people, invite me.
Perfect response.
Wow, the look on
that
his face.
That was a perfect response right there.
All right, 215-592-9494.
I refuse to become what I despise.
Fair enough.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.